Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Want to welcome in our first guest today, a friend for more than 40 years, Marty Mackinnon, Principal Managing Director, the Results for Development Institute in Washington. Hello, Marty. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Jack?
Just fine. We are hearing so much about problems in the economy, so many different theories and so many different takes on what stimulus was or was not able to accomplish. Your perspective on how effective that was and where we should go from here?
I think the stimulus was very effective in ways that unfortunately aren't easy to see, because what the stimulus did was keep us from making the situation much, much worse than what we have. So if we hadn't had the stimulus, we'd be in a much greater hole, much higher unemployment than what we have right now. And what we really need is more stimulus.
The political realities being what they are, and we just had an election that proved it, seems highly unlikely that we're going to have more stimulus. So what is the other option? What else can be done?
Well, the Fed is taking the actions that we just heard in your Wall Street Journal report that are getting some criticism, but it's almost the only way forward, given that our politicians want us to do just the wrong thing and cut spending right when we need it. So the quantitative easing, as it's called in that obscure economist jargon that I'm so familiar with, is about the only option.
A lot of people very concerned with the deficit, or at least pretend to be. A lot of people concerned about the debt and China and what the relationship is there. What about the idea that stimulus is just a transfer of eventual wealth to China? Do you buy that?
Well, there is a little bit of truth to that, but the major possibility here is that if we don't stimulate, we leave people unemployed,
right,
and their output and incomes are lost forever if they remain unemployed. So even though we might have to borrow from China or from anywhere else, anybody who will lend to us, to put people to work, that's the thing to do. We need to put people to work who don't have jobs, so they'll have an income, they'll produce an output. Both of those are valuable to us. Plus, they'll spend some of their income that'll help put other people to work, and they'll pay some taxes that'll help cut our deficit. We will have to pay China or whoever we borrowed from back, but we'll get much more benefit than we will have costs that we have to pay back. And we won't lose that output forever, because tomorrow will come again, but yesterday will never come again, or today when somebody's unemployed.
Is there a way, Marty, you can see within the next 4 years where we could have what's known as full employment in this country, about 5 or 6% unememployment?
It'll be very tough for us to get there. We'll have to inch our way there. And if we cut budgets and only cut taxes, it'll be an inching at an even slower rate than we are going now. So if we cut government spending and cut borrowing in the short term, we'll be very much closer to our current situation than that ideal that we'd like to get to in 4 or 5 years. Or we'd like to get there tomorrow, but it'll take time.
Obviously, here in the state of Michigan, we have seen the effects of stimulus with the bridge loans to the American automobile makers, and we know the results of that. We certainly see it here in Lansing, now the number 7 city in the United States in terms of job growth. But in terms of the overall perspective, it's more than just what is done in Washington, isn't it? Isn't there a global take to this?
Yeah, and unfortunately, some of our allies are doing just the wrong thing. We know that the UK is making massive budget cuts in the short run, so they're going in just the wrong direction. The Chinese, who have been manipulating their currency to keep themselves exporting, continue to do so and are criticizing us when we're trying, through that quantitative easing, to make our exports more competitive and give us a chance to grow. Where they're growing very rapidly, we need to get a chance to grow as well.
What about trade agreements? The failure to reach one with South Korea got a lot of publicity over the past week. What impact will that have?
Well, our trade with South Korea is not so big, so it won't have a big impact on us, but it's sending the momentum again in the wrong direction. We need more opportunities to trade, more opportunities to sell our goods abroad. It might have been a good tactical move to say no to that agreement so that we get the favorable treatment that we want for our beef and for our cars, but it's going in the wrong direction when we don't sign more trade agreements.
Everyone has ideas on how to balance the budget and what we need and what we don't need with our federal government, but we were talking earlier about the New York Times and an exercise that anyone can participate in. Do you want to tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, the New York Times has a really nice interactive feature that's called the Budget Puzzle, and it allows anybody who wants to go to their website and work their way through a combination, any combination you might choose from many, many options, maybe 50 different options of either budget cuts or tax increases over the next 20 years to try to get us to a balanced budget. And so it shows you how much various changes like changing the estate tax or cutting the military spending or taking troops out of Afghanistan and Iraq, how much that will save us, or cutting the Social Security spending by raising the retirement age. What can you say, and where will that get you? And you see that the choices are tough, and it can't be done just by budget cuts. And it probably shouldn't be done by just tax increases, but you can figure out what you think is the best combination that would work for you.
You travel a lot, not just around the country, but around the world. Do you sense that there is a willingness on the part of the American public to make the sacrifices and affect the changes that are necessary to make this happen? Or is this going to be a political mess by the time it's done and everyone will be spinning their wheels?
Well, I think our recent election results don't give me reason for optimism, because those who were coming forth with simplistic solutions to our problems seem to be getting the upper hand, and those are people in both parties, not just Republicans, because Republicans did better. So I hope we get some adult leadership like the type that we're getting from this Deficit Reduction Commission that just made its report that says, frankly, we need to both increase some taxes and cut some spending if we're going to get out of this mess. So I hope we'll listen to those adult leaders and not to those who have simplistic solutions that aren't going to work.
A lot of criticism of the Deficit Reduction Commission on both sides, from the far right and the left, and I think that maybe that sends us a message as well.
Yeah, I think that's actually telling us that they're probably mostly on the right track, that the extremists on both sides are critical means we've got something pretty sensible right down the middle, which is where we need to go and not be swinging wildly from one side to the other.
My guest, Marty Makinen, and he is the Principal Managing Director, Results for Development Institute. Marty, can you give us a quick summation of what the Results for Development Institute is and what it does?
Hey, Results for Development Institute is a small organization of about 30 people who are dedicated to reducing poverty around the world through social programs in health, education, and transparency and openness of governance. And we work in probably 50 countries around the world, even though we're only 30 people. How do we do that?
Travel a lot and work pretty hard. Marty also has an interest in reducing the point total allowed by the Michigan football defense, but that happened last week, so we'll let him off the hook on that one. Marty, thanks so much for joining us, and good luck with the rest of your efforts and Michigan's season against Wisconsin and Ohio State coming up.
Yeah, we're hoping for a lot of rain and a sloppy field to keep the scores down again.
Might wind up sending Michigan State to the Rose Bowl. Who knows?